you know, that the 2024 election doesn't occur. But that's pretty much what he said, was that he can see a scenario, as I can, a scenario that we don't have an election in 2024, that some other, and they call them black swans, some other black swan type event occurs.
So Flynn isn't the first one to say that there's a possibility there may not be a 2024 election. And we've stated here on AlphaVest for a long time, we don't think we can get to 2024. Obviously, we never fixed 2020. I mean, even with the 81 million votes, you mean to tell me that 81 million votes for Biden was a real thing? But in 2020, people weren't denying it. And now when we had General Flynn on the other day, he said over 70-some percent of Americans, of people, not mega people, believe that something went wrong with the 2020 election. And we all know that something went wrong. I mean, let's be honest, 81 million votes? Come on. We know that Trump is the people's president. And we know that he's going to continue to campaign as he should. He should stay out of anything that relates to not having a 2024 election. He should stay focused on that campaign no matter what. The people back him. So no matter what is coming down the wire. I mean, just the other day, we have the gold currency being announced at the BRICS summit next month, and they're introducing it. You got to think about it. Even the West, us, we have our debt-based system, but the whole world is going gold. This is going to put us into a corner. Everything is going to change dramatically very soon. There is no choice. Do I think there's going to be a 2024 election? No, I don't. But I'm continuing to stand with Trump on where he stands and what he continues to do. Because no matter what, the people got his back. And he's going to continue to build that. Just like you should be building your communities, getting invested in your local stuff at home. And not only that, but continue to use your voice, because that is the most powerful weapon. Continue to use your voice, and we will finish this. We will finish this 100%. It may look ugly for a little bit, but it's okay. It's okay. Just keep relying on God, and keep relying on what your gut is saying, on what the truth is that's coming out as well. There's so much that's going to happen.
Along with a friend of mine and a very brave, brave person, somebody that got it very early and went through hell, and he handled it like the brave man he is, General Michael Flynn. Where's Michael? Where is Michael? Thank you, Michael. Brave guy, great guy. Just stay in good health, Michael. Get ready, okay? It's not long. Year and a half, Michael. Just stay healthy.
In black, remember that, just in case we ever face to face and make contact. The title held by me, MIB, means what you think you saw.
It's not QAnon, it's Q and Anons. And Q puts out a question, and you're not allowed to ask questions anymore. Not allowed to. And the Anons, they look it all up. And they start looking and investigating this stuff. I never knew about them. While I was doing this movie, Sound of Freedom, has nothing to do with our film. But it's really interesting that they pointed to this immediately and said, that guy's one of them, he's bad.
A surging national debt means big gains for gold. The debt ceiling drama ended with nominal budget cuts and a shiny new credit card with no limit for the federal government. The first business day after, the U.S. Treasury increased our national debt by over $350 billion. It's no wonder Google searches for how to buy gold hit record levels in 2023. It's as simple as calling the Patriot Gold Group today before it's too late. Mention Christian Patriot News and get best-in-class service from Patriots Protecting Patriots. Patriot Gold Group has the No Fee for Life IRA, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical, gold and silver, and you may be eligible for the No Fee for Life IRA on qualifying rollovers. Call 844-402-0988 for a free investor guide today, or use the first link in the description box below this video. Patriot Gold Group is a Consumer Affairs top-rated gold IRA dealer 6 years in a row.
Can no longer be counted on to be working for we the people of the United States. Every right. bill they put out, you go through those bills, they have nothing to do with helping this country, right. securing our borders, our sovereignty, our freedom. What has happened is that a public-private partnership that is with the Great Reset, I call them the Davos crew or the banking cartel,
sure.
they are usurping our government, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights. They are selecting our leaders,
that's right.
and it is all for them, for this globalist Great Reset, Agenda 2030, Agenda 21 it used to be. What they are, sustainable goals that will lead us to a digital prison on this planet. They're talking about central bank, digital currency, yes. ESG, climate change. All of this stuff means one thing, that the United States no longer maintains its sovereignty, its freedom, its Declaration of Independence, and its Bill of Rights. And we are fighting against that. So please be aware that this is an international battle. United States is the problem for the Great Resetters, and that is why they are trying to take us down from the inside out, dividing us by race, religion, sexuality, class, color. It is coming from the top.
Morals.
It's coming from the top, yes. so we don't see that.
There's a full understanding here, particularly with the evidence of the last few weeks piling on, that when scientists are telling us that they are terrified by what they're seeing, and when we hear those same scientists telling us that we are in uncharted territory, this group has come together to try to figure out, okay, how do we deploy the funds necessary to invest to create the new clean energy economy? And I'm glad to say that you recognize many of the people here in the United States, and Mr. President, you've been with them before. They represent literally trillions of dollars either invested or of assets under management or assets owned, and they are making decisions every single day about how to accelerate this transition.
In 2014, Klaus Schwab called for the Great Reset.
We need a Great Reset,
which he positioned as the solution to the world's most urgent issues. The dark reality of Schwab's agenda is detailed in his best-selling book, COVID-19, The Great Reset. His endgame mission is to replace independent governance with a top-down controlled, one-world government and a central bank-controlled digital currency.
When they say, you'll be happy, what they mean is, you'll be enslaved. That's why they're talking about a Great Reset. That's why they're talking about introducing this quasi-communist, quasi-socialist agenda. They know we've run the course where we cannot continue down the path of the ever-increasing indebtedness because we have a generation that quite literally cannot afford to buy a house.
Millions of Americans are priced out of buying a home.
And so it's easy to tell that generation, we're going to forgive your college debt.
Student debt relief.
And set your expectations lower. You're going to rent forever. We're going to celebrate the tiny house movement. We're going to do all of these things which sound cool because they're shaping our narrative so that we become capable of expecting less. What we need to do is not expect less. We need to remove inefficiencies so we can experience more. And that's the subtle distinction that the Great Reset is missing.
Like most globalists, Schwab regards communist China as a shining model of how he intends to transform the world.
We now welcome His Excellency Xi Jinping. China has made significant economic and social achievements under your leadership.
Chinese influence on global affairs is growing. The founder of the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, says that this is what motivated the group this year to invite President Xi Jinping to deliver the keynote address in Davos.
Schwab said Xi's presence was a sign of the shift from a unipolar world dominated by the United States to a more multipolar system in which rising powers like China will have a step up and play a bigger role.
I think it's a role model for many countries. But we have to go one step further. It's a systemic transformation of the world.
Artificial intelligence,
the metaverse, synthetic biology, our life in 10 years from now will be completely different, and who masters those technologies will be the master of the world.
Just have to demonstrate that he will not take power if he does run, making sure he, under legitimate efforts of our Constitution, does not become the next president again.
The President of the United States of America saying that he is going to prevent his political opponent from taking power. That's okay. It's so okay that we need to look into the powers of the Constitution that will prevent such an egregious thing as your political opponent taking power. The majority of people in your country might vote for and install in office somebody that you don't approve of. Do you know how hard it was to find this clip? It is impossible to find parts of press conferences where Joe Biden just answers the question off the cuff. When he's reading from the teleprompter, he's saying everything the Democratic Party wants him to say, that Obama has written for him to say. Sounds really smart, convincing, and manipulative.
It was a good day, I think, for democracy. Our democracy has been tested in recent years, but democracy is who we are.
But then when he goes off script,
you have to demonstrate that he will not take power.
Do you hear the truth?
I'm making sure he... under legitimate efforts of our Constitution, does not become the next president again.
What's so crazy is people are going to tell me, this is taken out of context, Luke. You didn't look at the context. Well, let's put it in context and talk about that, shall we? Because Joe Biden just went and vamped a little bit like he likes to do. And this time when Joe Biden told his America's back story, when he was elected president, right? This is his favorite story. America was back.
Round table with the six other world leaders from the European Union, the United, and Canada, etc.
When he says world leaders, who's he talking about? He's talking about NATO, about our European allies, our co-imperialists who are trying to take over the world, set up our military bases everywhere, our currency, world domination. That's what we're trying to do with those other countries.
And said, America's back.
He embellished it a little further.
And one of them turned to me and said, for how long?
Some of these world leaders confided in him that they weren't sure how long America would be back for. And he won't mention names. He's going to leave out who these world leaders are. But they told him that they were worried. How long would we be back in our imperialistic game? How long would America have a corrupt deep state official in office? And that's what he means when he says we're back. Because when Donald Trump came into the office, the deep state and the new world order had a huge monkey wrench came in, started defunding NATO and was like, yeah, we're not starting any new wars and we're not going to play along. So after he told that story, the reporter comes back and says, how do we reassure those other world leaders that Donald Trump won't be president again?
The former president will not return, that his political movement, which is still very strong.
The reporter's question should have been, Mr. President, do you think that it's appropriate for you to be having discussions with world leaders about disenfranchising Americans? Do you think that it's appropriate for you to be discussing with other world leaders what political parties should be in power in your country? No, the reporter doesn't have a brain like that. None of these clowns in this press pool have a brain like that. All their brain says, what can I do to get more time and more access to this president? The press is asking a president of a democratic country, how do we ensure that the people don't vote someone into office that we don't want? Because the press is right on board. Democrats, Republicans, the press, they're all in power. How do we prevent the outsider from getting in? They're asking it in front of everyone, completely without any shame whatsoever. They're in such an echo chamber that they have no idea. People on TikTok are watching this. They don't know that Luke is going to go find this clip, that I'm going to dig through 53 minutes of the most boring press conference in the world so that I can secure this portion, because this will never be aired by any mainstream news. They're not going to talk about this. Maybe Tucker, because this is insane. We should all be outraged, because anybody who thinks that this is okay has Trump derangement syndrome. I'm not here to defend Trump, whatever you think of Trump. But they won't allow Trump in power, not because Trump is evil or he's not going to be good to the American people, because trust me, these people are no better than Trump. They don't want him in power because he's an outsider, because he's going to defund NATO, because he's not going to go along with the war games that they need to play to achieve their goals. That's what's going on here. The reason this is such a big deal is because if they will squash Trump, they will squash us. People need to know that this is how the current administration and this is how our political parties view their power. They view it as something to control and protect. Not us, not democracy, their power.
Donald, our beloved 45th, gave us something we ain't seen in a hot minute. Some good old straight talk. No highfalutin, beltway, jargon-filled political double talk. Nah, Trump talked to us like regular Joes, not some Ivy League snobs. Every tweet, every off-the-cuff remark, every rally speech, man, they were unfiltered, raw, and direct. Some called it controversial. I call it downright honest. It's like he was sitting at the end of the bar, sipping a Diet Coke, laying it out straight. No hidden agenda, no teleprompter, no wordy word salads, just straight facts. His Twitter was a beacon of truth in a world of fake news. Remember when he called out those politicians, bureaucrats, and media giants? Nobody else had the cojones to do that. And transparency? Heck, Trump had that in spades. The man lived his life like an open book and showed us what it means to be an outsider in D.C. I tell you, those were the days when America felt real. And it wasn't because of some polished politician's rehearsed speeches. It was because we had a president who didn't beat around the bush. When the Donald talked, we understood him, and he understood us. That's why he'll always be my president, no matter what those fancy pants folks in the Capitol say. So here's to straight talk, Trump style. We sure could use more of it these days.
2024 is the final battle. They're going after Trump, but if they can get Trump, it means they can get you, they can get me, they can get all of us. He is standing in the way, and that can sound like a campaign slogan, but it's very true.
Now we're approaching the most important battle of our lives.
Now, for the very first time in American history, a sitting president, DOJ, has indicted his top political rival ahead of a presidential campaign.
When they indicted me for nothing, I said, now the gloves are off. Now we have to say if I'm going to be the crook.
Protect your family's hard-earned savings from Bidenflation and the decreasing value of the U.S. dollar. The Fed's fiat currency is monopoly money. Top experts agree gold and silver will both break all-time highs as the dollar continues to free fall. Call Jack and his team at the Patriot Gold Group today, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you may be eligible for the No Fee for Life IRA on qualifying rollovers. Call 844-402-0988 for a free investor guide today, or use the first link in the description box below this video. Tell them Christian sent you and get best-in-class service from Patriots protecting Patriots. Patriot Gold Group is a Consumer Affairs top-rated gold IRA dealer 6 years in a row. And remember, when you support Christian Patriot News advertisers, you're supporting me and my beautiful wife in our work as digital soldiers sharing truth far and wide.
It's always opposite day with the media. Always opposite day. They don't want us talking about the issues that are important. They're trying to deflect, look over here. You know, I have to laugh. When I first got into politics, reluctantly, I didn't want to get into politics, but the people of Arizona asked me to. I figured that the media, when they wrote these hit pieces, that there was always a little sliver of truth, right? They had to start somewhere. Now I know it. They just make things up from scratch. Nothing is true. And we've seen it with Trump for 8 years. We're seeing it with you. They attack the people who are exposing the truth. You know, we're seeing it with this movie that is so important. And they're attacking the filmmakers because they're trying to save children and expose what's happening with this child trafficking, child sex trafficking, the most heinous thing you could ever imagine. And so I'm actually, when they attack me, it makes me feel good. It makes me realize that I am directly over the target and we are on track to save our country. When they attack Rudy, when they attack you, when they attack Trump, when they attack the people who are exposing the truth. And everyone has to be willing to take that. There's no time right now for weaklings. We're at the 11th hour to save our country. And, you know, it's funny, the attacks that have come at me, Steve, in the past couple weeks. I mean, one of the BS articles had me living at Mar-a-Lago, which is absolutely ludicrous. And then within a week and a half, they have me on the outs and that the MAGA world is done with me. It doesn't make sense. They are desperate. They're grasping for straw. They're grasping for anything because they know that we're coming at them. We're going to be on the ballot again. We're not going to stop. We're going to expose their criminality and their days are numbered. And we are fearless. You know, my book is called Unafraid, but your book could be called that. And Rudy's book, we are not afraid of these people because we're trying to save our country.
On April 26, Ms. Rodas gave sworn testimony, and I've used this many times. 85,000 children have crossed the border and disappeared. Now, that's sworn testimony. That's also evidence that has been submitted. And Tim, I talked to Tim and he says, it's actually much bigger than this. But anyway, the next day, I think that's newsworthy. And the next day in the news, nothing, absolutely nothing. But we've seen this over and over again in the media. You said ivermectin's bad. That's listed under the NIH. Hydroxychloroquine is bad for us. That's listed under the NIH. Adrenochrome, that's not true. It's C9H9NO3. This is a chemical compound that is absolutely listed. It's been around in modern science since the 1930s. You can actually, there's a synthetic form and there's a regular natural form, which is caused by torturing little kids to get their adrenaline up essentially and then extracting it from them. When you sit and meet, and so I brought this up a few years ago and all of a sudden I was attacked by every media. Look it up. It's there. They absolutely went after me. And the next day, I never heard from my agents, my agency for 14 months. My lawyers let me go. My agency never called me after that. And essentially I was done. And so when we go and do movies like this, you spend a great deal of time with agents, working with them. I didn't realize the connection, though, to my industry and to Epstein Island and all of that. But obviously there is. And I couldn't sleep for 2 years after doing that movie. 2 years in the middle of the night. horrible nightmares. Something hard that happens to you in your life, you can either fade away or turn and fight. And I've decided to fight back because those precious children are God, and I give my life for God. I'm talking about the Jesus Christ God, okay? The QAnon stuff. Jim's QAnon. Well, let's look into that because that could be really evil. Somewhere in Congress, they said QAnon is racist. Okay. We don't like that, right? But so is the Ku Klux Klan. And that's another letter. It's a K. We don't like the letter Q. We don't like the letter K, but they don't go after the letter K. And I started looking into Senator Byrd, and he was a grand wizard. Hillary Clinton's tied to him, and Joe Biden's tied to him. Now, understand, this is a Ku Klux Klan. And there is a lot of data that can prove that the Ku Klux Klan is an evil organization. And so are the Nazis. One could say that they're also racist, but they don't go after those. Only the QAnon. Now, if I, by way of analogy,
but one if I remaining. Were, yep.
If I were the Apostle Saul, and I'm a Pharisee, I'm going to go after the Christians. I'm going to take them down. Now, remove Christians and let's make it QAnon. I'm going to destroy them because the Romans told me they're evil. I'm going to destroy them because my own church staff, my Pharisee, fellow Pharisees said evil. I'm going to take them out. And then you find out it's not QAnon. It's Q and Anons. And Q puts out a question. And you're not allowed to ask questions anymore. Not allowed to. And the Anons, they look it all up. And they start looking and investigating this stuff. I never knew about them while I was doing this movie, Sound of Freedom. It has nothing to do with our film. But it's really interesting that they pointed to this immediately and said, that guy's one of them. He's bad.
Right, even knocking the fedora right off of Indiana Jones's July 4th box office rankings and taking the number one spot that day.
How did that make you feel? Giving a child his freedom.
Felt good.
You have been at this for 12 years. Why are you doing it?
Because God's children are not for sale.
Joining us right now is the guy who the movie is based upon, Operation Railroad, Underground Railroad founder, Tim Ballard, who helped save kids from traffickers all around the world. Tim, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
How cool is that? Your movie beat Indiana Jones.
Yeah, we're blessed. We're shocked. You know, I grew up on Indiana Jones. How could more people want to watch a movie about us than him? But we're grateful because it's a real problem. People are waking up, and we think this could be a major solution in the fight against child trafficking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, Tim, it's a true story about you. You work for Homeland Security, and then you are arresting these pedophiles, and you realize, hey, there are victims out there, and I want to save these kids. And the true story is your wife said, you know, quit your job, and you go save this family. Brother and sister are kidnapped. They think they're going to be models, and a beautiful lady says to the dad, just leave them here in this room. I'll take care of them. Come back and pick them up later this afternoon. I'm going to teach them how to be models and give them a modeling career and make a lot of money for your family. He comes back and the lights are off, the kids are gone. And so you make it your life mission to save the little boy, and you promise the little boy, I'm going to save your sister. Did you tell us the story of this? Because I understand it was a Fox movie. And then when Disney bought Fox Century 20, then this was tabled. And so how did it get to the Angel? How did the Angel Network get involved?
Well, yeah, Fox, like you said, produced it. Disney bought it, and Disney was very clear that they weren't going to do anything with it. The irony there is pretty almost poetic now. The producers wrestled it away, and it went through several hands. And I actually was on I was invited to the set of The Chosen, and I happened to be there, and I ran into the Angel Studios executives just sitting there in the fake Jerusalem set. So it's kind of cool, and I told them that this film is about to lose, the people who had it, the rights were going to expire. They jumped in and grabbed it, and I mean, they made a deal in 5 days.
That's great.
With the producers, Eduardo, and then 90 days later, here we are. It happened really fast. Well, Angel Studios is very creative. They know how to do this.
What did Jim Caviezel do to the part and playing you?
Well, when they asked me back in, I believe, 2018, who I would like to play me, mm-hmm. Right out of the gate, I said Jim Caviezel.
Awesome.
And they didn't like that because there's a cool scene at the end of the movie where they transition into actual footage from the operation that's depicted in the film. And they said, you look nothing like Jim. We want someone that looks a little bit like you. And I told them I don't trust Hollywood very much. I told them I think I'm in business largely because of Hollywood and the sex content they constantly create, which leads to the demand. And I said, Jim Caviezel loves Jesus. That's important to me because I love Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, that's the connection point where I feel comfortable. And they went with it, and I think they made the right decision. Anyone who sees the film, I think, would agree.
Yeah, indeed. But there's been some criticism in the mainstream media where they suggest there's some sort of a connection to your movie and QAnon. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I can't explain it, and neither can they. Every show I've seen, they just like to throw the word out, QAnon. They make zero connection to the actual story. It's really difficult to make that connection when it's actually based in a true story. Mm-hmm. Every kid is real in the story. Every bad guy is real. You know, they play with some timing and things like that to fit it all in. But where's the QAnon doctrine being spewed in the film and the script? I have no idea, because this is actually what it looks like, because this is what happened. I was there, and several others were there to confirm. So this is just some other agenda. You know, I mean, who would want to get the backs or run interference for pedophiles and human traffickers? That's the more important question in all this. Mm-hmm. Why would you want to lie to push an agenda whose goal is to have children be in captivity? Well, it's kind of sick.
Tim, I think for our viewers that have, you know, faith in their life, I think they know that God is just blessing you because you're telling a story, and Disney doesn't want it told, and, you know, people don't want Jim Caviezel. You know, he's had a hard time getting booked for movies because he played Jesus in Passion of the Christ, and he's expressed his love for Jesus. So I'm so glad you're telling the story. It's awesome how God has made this all just happen and come to be, and I think you spent like $15 million, and you've made, three times that now, which is awesome. My family's seen the movie. I saw the movie. It's hard to watch because as a mother, you think, if someone did this to my child, my goodness. So tell us about the problem and what as a country we can do to help this.
Well, this is the fastest growing criminal enterprise in the world. And too often Americans sit back and say, this is something far, far away from us. And it's not. We are generally speaking, we are the demand for consuming child exploitation material. Often we're the number one producers. We're in the top three countries for destination countries. We are the ones pushing these movements about sexualizing kids, calling it sex education. We're the ones who are allowing or wanting children as young as 13 years old to be able to consent to anything, including body mutilation, which will only lead to consent laws around children being able to consent to have sex with adults. You know, we are the country that allows, in the last 2 years, 85,000 unaccompanied minors to come to our border and then be let in without any vetting, no background check. And what do you think is happening in the economy of pedophilia? We are the problem. We are the demand. We are creating this.
Right. And they got phony sponsors. The sponsors drop them off in the fields, and they're basically working all day. No communication with their families. It's happening right now. Those kids coming across the border are not going to good situations. I want you to hear what CNN said about you. Listen to this and have you respond.
Films are created out of moral panics. They're created out of bogus statistics. They're created out of fear. And with something like Sound of Freedom, it specifically is looking at QAnon concepts of these child trafficking rings that are run by the high-level elites, and only people like Tim Ballard and only people like Jim Caviezel, and by extension, only people like the ticket buyer can help bring these trafficking rings down.
Do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, as that guy's talking, and he's nobody's hero, by the way. I can't imagine any kid looking at him thinking he's going to help them out. But I think of the children that are really depicted in that film. I know what happened to them. Those children were the subjects of child rape videos. Those children were being sold for sex. In total, you see over 120 kids actually are rescued in the story that's being depicted. even if the movie doesn't get into all of them. These are real kids. I see them. I'm still friends with them. So it's embarrassing and frankly grotesque for this guy who knows nothing to start throwing out terms like QAnon and connecting it to a real story. I mean, they're not even thinking about it. So what are they thinking about?
Are they pro-sex trafficking? It's so bizarre. It's like they're pro-sex trafficking. Like, leave the industry alone.
That's how it feels to me. It feels like there's some other agenda, because why do this?
There's that one scene in the movie where it's an older man, and he's picking out what little boy or what little girl he wants to take into, you know, I just can't even talk about it, but to take away, and we know what's going to happen to that child. Does that really happen, and how often does it happen?
Well, this is happening all the time. There are 6 million children, believe it or not, according to the Department of Labor, Department of State, who are stuck in slavery of one kind or another. Either it's sex, labor, or organ harvesting. I mean, organ harvesting. Oh. We've been taking down several organ harvesting rings where they take little babies and you know, use them that way. And so we see everything, you know, and the film depicts every kind, whether it's the lure. Like you mentioned, that's a real person, that beauty queen who was recruiting kids as young as 9 years old and then grooming them to be sex slaves. Or whether it's the more kind of, hey, you've been taken, we're going to select you for this or that. We see everything. It's all in existence, and there's millions of kids.
Well, everybody is talking about your movie. Congratulations. It's a tough topic, but it's important. Tim Ballard, sir, thank you very much, and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. From the studio
that brought us The Chosen, and go to angel.com/freedom if you want showtimes. Support this movie. Support the cause, because people like Tim are going out and saving these children. And you're right. God's children are not for sale. Tim, thank you so much.
You got to be really bad, okay, to get arrested in Holland. They were arrested in 2020, fugitives. They ran. And they were hiding. No one knew who they were. Well, they rear their ugly heads. The leader, this guy named Nelson Matulin. I'm literally in Poland at the time at our staging operation for Ukraine. And I get this information that this guy in Mexico is trying to traffic kids out of Ukraine. Yeah. And so I go undercover. The Dutch asset who gave me that information infiltrated me, and I'm undercover talking to this guy. Well, in the end, we ended up, in fact, just yesterday, two of the guys were convicted in Ecuador, because it led us to Ecuador, a child sex hotel, these pedophiles from Holland, and set up. But we'll get into that another time. Okay. But the point I'm making is I had to study their literature. This was a political platform. This was a political party. And what I started recognizing is I named them I call it the pedophile network doctrines. Okay. Yeah. They include things like separate children from parents, because parents are bad influence. The state knows best. Sexualize kids. Let them see pornography. Two.
Karl Marx.
Three, take God out of education, because that just gets in the way. And kids, consent. Children can consent to anything. At 12 years old, they should be able to vote. They should be able to do anything. Now, what am I saying here? I'm my stomach is getting sick as I'm reading this. I read this every day. It's the woke left agenda. I'm not saying that they're colluding or talking. It doesn't matter. It's the same dark source. But they are pedophiles are sitting back right now going, we've been pushing this agenda for decades. And now we don't have to push anymore, because the left is taking care of it for us in America. In America. And this whole trans voice on children. You know, again, I'm libertarian. Adults, do what you want. I'll fight for your right to do whatever you want. Okay. In terms of adult, I'm talking about children. Yeah. And what they're saying is children can consent to having their bodies filled with a chemical that will destroy the reproductive system. Yeah. They can consent to ripping apart their genitalia. Like, this is insanity. Why? In and of itself, it's horrible. But what it's going to lead to is what the pedophiles have been asking for. If you can consent to that, guess what? What's more fluid than gender? Age.
We cannot stand by and do nothing. Already there's thousands upon thousands of displaced women and children, and they're destitute. They don't have means to travel or take care of themselves. And so they're going to take opportunities. And the traffickers know that, so the traffickers will provide that opportunity.
Human traffickers are at the borders.
taking advantage of the Ukrainian refugee crisis.
We try to discuss, especially women and young girls, to have some preventive measures.
Dangerous propositions.
Annual global profit from human trafficking is around $32 billion.
Luring women into slavery and prostitution and taking children to sell off.
So then we started kind of putting together a team. Aerial Recovery led the effort. Their group is made up of former special ops, so they know exactly how to work in hot zones.
In the first 2 weeks, there was already hundreds of children reported missing from crossing the border.
And we started running operations to go into the bombed out zones. Very dangerous. Sometimes bombs are going off.
There were mines that we just passed on the side of the road.
There are Russian checkpoints. They'll just kill you for being American.
At the same time, this Dutch policeman knows our work, and especially in Latin America and in Mexico, and said, hey, you guys, we just got the craziest lead. A Dutch pedophile who has been charged and about to stand trial for raping little boys, he took off and he fugitated to Mexico. And he's looking to traffic Ukrainian war victims in through Mexico into his pedophile market. He's famous because he's a political activist trying to make legal sex with children as young as 2 or 3 years old.
Even if you somehow lured a kid in such a thing, a child can't understand what's happening. A child can't say yes to such a thing.
OUR was able to make contact with this suspected child predator.
My undercover persona is introduced to him as a guy who traffics kids out of Ukraine. We have Ukrainian undercover operators for the first time.
And I was supposed to be believable that I'm young, naive.
With makeup, I can make her look like she's 12, and she'll be the bait. We now have a list of his lieutenants, and we don't know where they are, but we think he certainly knows where they are.
And we're focusing in on that location where this group have created a sex hotel.
They produce child rape videos of little boys.
The next 6 hours are critical because this is when all the pieces need to come into play.
This is trafficking, not prostitution. That these are victims, not volunteers. This is not something out of a Hollywood movie.
There is a movement right now to desensitize the world to the sexualization of children.
This is a rescue mission, a love that's without condition. This is our fight till every life is set free. Yeah, this is a rescue mission, a love that's without condition. This is our fight till every life is set free.
Working on the southern border, working sex trafficking cases. And I can tell you, you're exactly right. One little girl I can tell you about, in fact, I introduced this little girl to Miss Trump during a private briefing. This little girl was kidnapped in Central America, 11 years old, groomed for 2 years, with the intent of getting her ready to come to America. Why? Because we are the highest consuming nation of child pornography. We are the clientele that's the big money. They brought this little girl through a part of the southern border where there was no wall, easily got her to New York City, and this is hard to hear, but this is the truth, and everyone needs to hear this. This little girl, and this is a very typical, raped for money every day, 30 to 40 times a day. If that's not a crisis, if that's not an emergency, I don't know what is. Now, let me say this. Had there been a wall, had there been a barrier, this little girl likely would have been saved because the traffickers would have been forced to take this child through the port of entry where we have amazing law enforcement. I've worked with these people. These are the best people on the planet. They can detect. They have equipment. They have trained agents. In contrast, while this was happening, I was working another case. A little boy, a Mexican boy who was kidnapped by an American trafficker by a child pornographer. He kidnapped Mexican children, brought them to San Bernardino County, where he had a makeshift studio, made child porn with these little children, 5 years old. This little boy was kidnapped in Mexicali, Mexico, where there was a wall, where there is a barrier, and so he was forced to take this little boy through the Calexico port of entry, and guess what? It worked. We captured him. We rescued the little boy and subsequently rescued 12 other children in San Bernardino, California. The difference between those two cases is 2 + 2 = 4. The wall was the difference. The wall rescued this little boy, and the lack of a wall caused this little girl to go through a hell that is indescribable, that is not manufactured. It is a real crisis. It is a real emergency.
And you have many thousands of people like this.
Thousands. This is happening all the time.
President Donald Trump with us here for UFC 29. And the support that he has in this arena tonight, this group is going to blow up.
Friends, and he's such a huge fight fan, so I love the guy. The fighters all love him too, so he had a blast tonight.
Our president has long enjoyed support from UFC fans, myself included, and even attended fights while in office, even bringing along Republican lawmakers with him as like a social gathering. So why has this community largely backed the current GOP presidential candidate? Well, let's ask one of them. Joining me now is retired MMA fighter Jorge Masvidal. Jorge, appreciate you being here. Look, I love the UFC. I'm a very amateur fighter myself. However, nothing like what you guys do in the Octagon. This is a sport, mano y mano. No garbage. You can't sugarcoat your way around it. Why has this tough crowd, not only fighters, but crowd included, been drawn to Donald Trump?
Many reasons. Fighters, for the most part, are very individual creatures and not like hive minds. So, you know, a lot of the things that Trump preaches appear to us, you know, you get what you put in. If you work, you're going to get something out of it. A lot of fighters, well, not a lot. All fighters, I would say, none of them are sitting on their butt waiting for a check from Corona to hit or anything like that. Fighters are go-getters, so we write off rip, see with the policies that Trump says, you know, and could agree with them. You know, anybody with half a brain, this is the guy that's allowing you to put money in your pocket and live on and not be shut down. And then just many reasons I could go on to why Trump's super the best for us. But one thing that that I could definitely say is, why isn't there any coverage on the 8-ball that was found in the White House of cocaine? Nobody talking about it. So I wanted to bring that up because imagine if Don Jr., right?
Oh, it would have been horrible.
And for you know, Trump can't sneeze wrong in public.
Right.
And here we are in one of the most secure places in the world, I think. I don't know. I've never been to the White House, but maybe you could just walk in and out and nothing happens. But I usually would have thought that you'd have to do some type of sign-in, give somebody your ID. Something. There's cameras everywhere. Because right. Now there's no owner for this cocaine bag either. So we see that double standard always. I just want to make sure while I was on here, I brought that up.
I appreciate it. This is something I will never forget about it on this show. But I want to go to something else, too. Obviously, you come from a community of fit, strong people and things like this. But MSNBC, I don't know if they're just weak in general as like a culture, but they published an article questioning physical fitness, linking it to, quote, white supremacy, saying, quote, physical fitness training, especially in combat sports, appeals to the far right for many reasons. Fighters are trained to accept significant physical pain, to be warriors and embrace messaging around solidarity, heroism, and brotherhood. I mean, outside of the white supremacy thing, they kind of nailed it down. Like, I mean, why would you not want to be fit to prolong your life? Like all of COVID, we had the same discussion. It was like, wear a mask, don't go to the gym because we're closing them down.
I mean, it's simple. They're always going to do the same tactics that all the communists have used in other playbooks throughout time and time again. Divide and conquer. Now they want to divide the strong people from the weak people. And it's just always the same playbook. Just get everybody to divide. That is the crazy thing. Now, to link that to racism, I mean, I don't know. I think it was like a year ago that they were also linking math to racism, you know? I usually find it that whoever's the one pointing the finger, that guy's racist, usually that person's like the biggest racist, usually, you know? And there's nothing the left does better in all those paid programming commercials than attack everybody. So now if you're playing basketball, right, you're racist, I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, no, Jorge, I appreciate your frankness here.
It's the most interesting thing to happen at the White House since Lewinsky, and the White House won't even talk about it. The White House won't even tell us who left it. They won't even tell us where they found the blow. They tracked down every person who was near the Capitol on January 6th, but finding out who brought coke into the White House, too hard. The White House can't even get their story straight. First, the coke was in the library. Then they said it was in a cubby in the West Wing. And now we hear it was outside the Situation Room. And first, they tried to blame it on a tourist. Now they're trying to pin it on a construction worker. Listen.
Situation Room is not in use and has not been in use for months because it is currently under construction. The only people coming in and going out of the sit room in this period have been workers who are getting it ready to go.
When I work around the house, I do a few lines just to keep the energy up. Obviously, the construction workers. He's actually blaming the union guys working on the White House. The blue-collar guys. They're the cokeheads. Nobody's looking at the known crackhead who hangs out at the White House, who we hear is living at the White House. Binder says Hunter has an alibi.
I'm just asking again, can we just say once and for all whether or not the cocaine belonged to the Biden family?
They were not here Friday. They were not here Saturday. They were not here Sunday. They were not even here Monday. They came back on Tuesday. So to ask that question is actually incredibly irresponsible.
All right, so when a crackhead visits the White House and crack shows up, why is it irresponsible to wonder if the crackhead left the crack? It's like when the coronavirus shows up next to a coronavirus lab. We wondered if it came from the lab, and they called that irresponsible, too. Well, we did some digging, and it turns out Hunter was at the White House on Friday. The whole family was. Binder lied. Here's Hunter with his little red backpack walking to Marine One after spending the whole day at the White House. What's in the little red backpack? We might never know. The media doesn't want to know. The media says Republicans are pouncing.
His family and Hunter specifically have become his primary political liability in a lot of ways. I mean, look at the cocaine story from the last week and how many Republicans have tried to seize on that
cheapness.
Issue.
It's really kind of ugly the way it's been done.
It's kind of it's certainly kind of a tacky play here.
So it's tacky to ask who brought blow into the White House, but it's not tacky to bring blow into the White House. Okay. This is just an attack on common sense. They think we're going to fall for it. Coronavirus didn't come from the lab. Our border's secure. Inflation's transitory. The crack didn't come from the crackhead. That's reckless. Joe's a sweet, wise grandpa. And Hunter's the smartest guy he knows. Maybe the Bidens aren't really all what they're cracked up to be. Chuck Marino is a former Secret Service special agent. So, Chuck, are you buying this line that they're selling?
No, absolutely not. And I think it's beyond reproach for someone like Karine Jean-Pierre to tell news outlets and all Americans that it's irresponsible to be concerned and ask about the fact that cocaine ended up in the White House, the most secure location in the country.
Now, you're experienced in this neck of the woods. What are you thinking happened here? And what are they not telling us?
Well, I'm thinking that the Secret Service is in a really bad spot here because of this administration that they're dealing with right now. We've got a lot of technology at their disposal around the White House. They've got White House visitor access logs. So they have information to shrink down some type of a time frame and then engage with those that were reported to have been on the White House complex within that designated time frame. What I think is going on here is the Secret Service is doing the right thing by remaining silent as an investigation goes on. But unfortunately, they have Karine Jean-Pierre as their spokesperson, who can do no one justice when she speaks on their behalf. You could be the most innocent person in the country, and if she opens up her mouth coming to your defense, you're going to look more guilty when something started. So they're in a no-win situation here, and hopefully they're going to come out soon with some good news, because if they don't come forth with the suspect, then that means everybody at the White House remains a suspect, and they're going to be accused of being part of some type of cover-up.
We're not saying it's Hunter's coke. We have no idea whose coke it is. But why is it taking so long for this investigation to wrap up?
So my understanding is they're pulling out all the stops on this. The officials I've spoken to at the service tell me that the cocaine and the bag that it was in are still down at the lab. They're doing fingerprint and DNA testing. They're also continuing to review the video surveillance footage, the White House access visitor information, and they're also looking at pass holder information to see what interviews need to be conducted. So let's give them the time to do that. But in the meantime, I don't think it works in anyone's favor to accuse anyone that is concerned that this took place of being irresponsible and being on the wrong side of this. I think just the contrary. We should be outraged that drugs were found in the White House. And very concerned with the security at the White House and make sure that something like this doesn't happen again. And if it leads right back to a senior administration official or a family member, then so be it. That's the way it's going to need to be. And the Secret Service is going to need to come out and be the ones to explain this.
Some of you hearing my voice right now, you've been blessed tremendously by God in the area of finances. God gives some people a very special financial anointing, and they prosper in everything they do. And quite often, God gives such people a heart of generosity. Please contact me personally to step up and sponsor a show. My personal email address is christianpatriotnews@protonmail.com. It's on your screen now. Please use the subject line, sponsor a show. I'm not talking about advertising a product or a service. Those are advertisers. I'm talking about supporting me and my beautiful wife personally for our work as digital soldiers, sharing truth far and wide. Thank you in advance for your incredible generosity. We are truly grateful.
Postmillennial. DOJ announces multiple indictments against whistleblower who alleged Biden received payments from CCP-affiliated individuals. I love this story because it's kind of obvious. It's just so on the nose, like, hey, I'm a guy who says that there's corruption happening with Joe Biden, and then Joe Biden's like, you're under arrest. It's just really that simple, huh? The DOJ has announced multiple indictments against Dr. Gal Luft, the Israeli-American co-head of a Maryland think tank who gained notoriety as the missing witness in the investigation into Joe Biden's corruption. The New York Post recently shared a video of Luft wherein he broke down the allegations made against Biden and claimed that he'd been arrested to prevent him from testifying to the House Oversight Committee with damning evidence against the first family. Now, long after coming out as a whistleblower, Luft himself has been charged by the Biden DOJ for allegedly engaging in multiple serious schemes involving the Chinese and Iranians alongside a former high-ranking U.S. government official. The charges include numerous offenses related to failing to register under the Foreign Agents Registration Act, arms trafficking, Iranian sanctions violations, and making false statements to federal agents. Wouldn't Hunter Biden have to do the same thing with Farah as well? But I don't know if there's more to this story or what's going on. I don't know if you have a bigger view of this, Natalie.
Sure. Well, there is nothing more hypocritical than coming after him for not registering with the Foreign Agent Registration Act as someone who has read Farah too many times. I joke I'm probably the only American who frequents that website. Hunter Biden's name is never on there, even though it should be, not just for China, but also for Ukraine, also for Iraq, also for Russia, you name it, the list goes on. But it's important to remember that this is just one of several whistleblowers. If you remember James Comer, who's leading these investigations for the House, he said that there were about 10 whistleblowers. Seven of them, they don't know what happened to them. They just couldn't find them. Ooh. Two of them had been indicted. And the other, if you remember, he was giving an interview, I think it was on Fox. And he's like, we think they may be dead. So keep in mind that even though the story is absolutely ridiculous, it's all the ridiculous more 10 times over because there are so many people like him.
Have you guys seen that crazy video where the woman on the plane is like screaming about how the dude's not real or something?
Yes.
I don't know what that was all about. I read something where she said, like, apparently people were like, she claims the guy winked sideways or something like that. I have no idea. But I was watching that, and after just seeing all of these different conspiracy theories, at this point, I'm like ready to believe her that like a lizard person was on the plane. I'm kidding, by the way. But what I mean, I bring it up because you hear the story and it's like, well, some of the whistleblowers may be dead. We don't know where these ones are. This guy's being criminally charged after calling out the Bidens and, you know, accusing them of corruption. And I'm just like, yeah, it's probably true. Like, the Bidens are doing this, and they're panicking and frantically trying to cover things up. Because what's the simple solution here? That all of these whistleblowers, witnesses, every story, every video, every claim, every text message, it's all part of some Russian plot to discredit the Bidens? Sorry, probably not the case.
It's so bold and it's so in your face, and I think it sort of proves in some ways the guilt of the Biden family. What I mean by that is that the same family that is so willing to issue indictments against people who are obviously calling the whistle, calling them out for their actions with hard, cold facts, real evidence. Of course, they would be bold and brash enough to take money from the Chinese Communist Party while Joe Biden is in office and think they could get away with it. I think it just shows you the mindset of this family.
The Southern District of New York unveiled the charges last night. They include failing to register as a foreign agent, arms trafficking, and making false statements to prosecutors. I spoke with Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson about Luft's credibility on Sunday Morning Futures. Sunday, watch.
He was consulting with CEFC, the same Chinese company connected to the Communist Party that was paying the Bidens millions of dollars. When he heard that Joe Biden was going to be running for president, that alarmed him because he knew how compromised Joe Biden would be. So he met with two prosecutors from the Southern District of New York and four FBI agents in Brussels for 2 days in March of 2019. He's got a wealth of information, but they never followed up on that meeting. Instead, they arrested him in Cyprus to silence him.
Joining me right now is South Carolina Congresswoman Nancy Mace. She is a member of the House Oversight, Armed Services, and Veterans Affairs Committees. Congresswoman, it's good to see you again. Thanks very much for being here. What is your reaction to this indictment of Gal Luft?
Well, no one should be surprised here. I don't trust the DOJ or the FBI. They are trying to silence our witnesses. This is a way to do that. He deserves to testify before the Oversight Committee. We have a lot of questions. We want to know why the evidence he brought forth to the FBI in that Brussels meeting in 2019 was not followed up on. And the irony here is not lost on anyone. Charging him for failing to register as a foreign agent. Well, I have a question for the DOJ and the FBI this morning. What was Hunter Biden doing with millions and millions of dollars from foreign countries advocating and lobbying on their behalf? I mean, really, this is obscene that they're not charging Hunter with the same crimes they're charging this guy.
So you're saying that Hunter Biden should have registered as a foreign agent. He did all of these deals with these foreigners, and he's once again skating on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've seen tens of millions of dollars from foreign countries where he was assisting them, was never registered as a foreign agent. And that's why these witnesses are so important that have information, have evidence to bring it forward to the Oversight Committee. And here, if this is just another stonewalling tactic by the FBI and the DOJ, we've seen this over and over again. And this is just days after the bombshell report that people read about the potential evidence he had. He ought to testify before the Oversight Committee. We deserve to find that information because the FBI and DOJ keep blocking us from this investigation.
Yeah, but does this shut that down? I mean, let's face it, Congressman, now he's indicted. Number one, what does this mean in terms of any interview that you want to get? Is this completely shutting down this important source and informant for the Oversight Committee? And number two, obviously, this is not going to encourage others to come forward. What does this do to your ability to get more whistleblowers?
Well, it certainly slows the investigation down and will prevent him from testifying before the Oversight Committee. Fortunately, there are other whistleblowers that have other pieces of information. But, I mean, my God, we have got to get the DOJ and the FBI to come before the Oversight Committee. This can't continue. The way that they have stonewalled and blocked us from our investigation, essentially blocking the American people from knowing what was really going on. The American people ought to know if Joe Biden was for sale and if his family was for sale, if Hunter Biden was the middleman between all these countries and Joe Biden as president or vice president. The American people ought to know the truth in this thing.
Yeah, they ought to, but it looks like you've just gotten shut down. I mean, the Department of Justice also moved yesterday to prevent the release of internal communications from their Hunter Biden probe. As a Fox News digital analysis of Obama-era emails reveal extensive ties between Hunter Biden and nearly a dozen senior-level Biden administration aides, Congresswoman. So they're blocking and tackling at every turn. What does this mean for any future of this investigation?
Well, we have to do whatever we can, regardless of what the FBI and DOJ are attempting to do. I have great faith in our chairman, James Comer. Every time we've been blocked, we've certainly tried to find and have found a way to get around it and get to that information. And we're going to rely on him and his leadership to be able to do that on what next steps might be so we can, you know, get other whistleblowers to come forward. What we believe is happening here is that the FBI and DOJ received this evidence and then did nothing. Maybe there are no emails because they didn't do any investigation. We ought to know that as well. But we're going to work hard to try to figure this out. We don't have a lot of time, but we are going to work as hard as we can and deliver as much evidence as we can to the American people so that they can decide whether or not Joe Biden should be in prison or any member of his family as well.
Good day. My name is Dr. Gal Luft. For the past 20 years, I have been the co-director of the Institute for the Analysis of Global Security, a Washington-based think tank focused on energy security. For the past 15 years, I've been a resident of Israel, and for 4 years, I was senior advisor to the China energy company CFC at the same time of its dealings with the Biden family. Under normal circumstances, I would be testifying before Congress about my experience with CFC. Sadly, due to circumstances I shall describe here in this video, I am forced to tell you this story via video. My ordeal goes back to a fatal decision I made in March of 2019 to share with the U.S. government my knowledge about the Biden family's relations with CFC. As I said, it was in March of 2019 in a two-day session at the U.S. Embassy in Brussels. I insisted that the meeting take place in March because at the time there were rumors that Joe Biden was planning to run for president. I saw it as my civic duty to alert the government beforehand and give it enough time to probe the issue. I want to be clear. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I have no political motive or agenda. I did it out of deep concern that if the Bidens were to come to power, the country would be facing the same traumatic Russia collusion scandal, only this time with China. Sadly, because of the DOJ's cover-up, this is exactly what happened. The DOJ sent to Brussels a delegation of six people, two prosecutors from the Southern District of New York, by the names of Daniel Reichenthal and Catherine Gauche, and four FBI agents. One of them was Special Agent Joshua Wilson from the Baltimore Field Office, which also happens to cover the state of Delaware. Now, you want to ask yourself, why did the government dispatch to Europe so many people? Why six? Why not two? The answer is that they knew very well that I'm a credible witness and that I have insider knowledge about the group and the individuals that enriched the Biden family. Over an intensive two-day meeting, I shared my information about the Biden family's financial transactions with CFC, including specific dollar figures. I also provided the name of Rob Walker, who later became known as Hunter Biden's bagman. Yet, as we now know today from the whistleblower testimony, Gary Shapley, it took the DOJ a whole 21 months to probe the issue and to actually talk to Walker. But perhaps the most alarming information I revealed was of a mole within the DOJ who shared classified information with Hunter Biden and his Chinese partners. I told the DOJ that Hunter was closely associated with a very senior retired FBI official who had distinct physical characteristic. He had one eye. One of the FBI agents at the time even told me, you know, that would be very easy for us to find. There aren't that many one-eyed people in the Bureau. The information I provided the FBI in March of 2019 was fully corroborated 9 months later when the famous laptop belonging to Hunter Biden, which contained all the emails and receipts, was handed to the FBI. And guess who seized the laptop from the computer repair shop? It was Special Agent Joshua Wilson, who was with me in Brussels earlier. In other words, the FBI knew about from me about the Biden CFC deals before they got hold of the laptop, way before. They had enough time to investigate the issue, but they didn't. After Brussels, I never heard back from the DOJ, but instead of showing appreciation for my whistleblowing, I became public enemy number one. Over the past 4 years that followed, me, my family, my friends, my associates, were all harassed, intimidated, and finally, I was prosecuted. Despite all that, on the eve of the 2020 elections, I sent my lawyer to Washington to meet with then acting Deputy Attorney General, Mr. Richard Donahue, to ensure he was informed about the information I had given his department in Brussels 19 months earlier, and also to warn him that there may still be a mole within the DOJ. Mr. Donahue confirmed to my lawyer that he was aware of my claims, but now we learn from the IRS whistleblower that it was Rich Donahue himself who suspended the investigation a few weeks earlier on September 4th, 2020, on the grounds that it was, quote, too close to the elections. Finally, in February this year, I was arrested in Cyprus on an extradition request from the Southern District of New York, the very same office that met with me in Brussels. The 7-count indictment said I violated the Arms Export Control Act, and if I convicted, I would face up to 100 years in prison. While I was detained in Cyprus, I was portrayed in the international media as an arms dealer, even though I never traded a bullet in my entire life. In fact, nowhere in my indictment the DOJ claimed or presented evidence that I bought, sold, shipped, or financed any weapons. I was also charged with acting as an unregistered agent of CFC, which is a FARA violation. The DOJ says that I caused the payment of $6,000 a month to former CIA Director James Woolsey, in order to put his name on an article I had ghostwritten for the China Daily newspaper. Nowhere in the indictment, the DOJ mentioned the well-known fact that Mr. Woolsey had been an advisor to my think tank since 2002, and that there was nothing in the article that represented Chinese interest. To the contrary, the notion that I, Gal Luft, spoon-fed a CIA director with policy proposals on China, treating him like a useful idiot, is not only an insult to the intelligence community, it is an insult to the intelligence of every American. The U.S. government claimed that I acted on behalf of CFC, and therefore I'm a foreign agent. But let me tell you a little secret. The same CFC that the U.S. government claims was associated with the Chinese intelligence and, quote, an international criminal organization, was a 501c3 charitable organization registered in the state of Virginia and approved by the IRS. The same organization was also a major donor to the Clinton Foundation and Columbia University. Needless to say that none of their executives were charged for any wrongdoing. If CFC was indeed a foreign entity tied so closely to the PRC, why was it allowed to operate freely as a public charity? Why did the government expose taxpayers to the risk of funding an entity it knew at the time was so compromised? Why did they not warn anybody? Isn't the role of government to protect its people? I'm also being charged for making a false statement in Brussels. But why was I in Brussels to begin with? Was I there to eat Belgian waffles? The DOJ charged me for making a statement in a voluntary meeting that would have never come to bear if not for my good citizenship. So let me propose an idea. Why won't the DOJ make my indictment public? Do it. Make my day. Put it on your website so that every American can see the nature of the allegations against me, the quality of the evidence, and the length the government is willing to go to weaponize the justice system to punish whistleblowers like me. I have another idea. Why won't the FBI submit to Congress the minutes from the Brussels meeting? Let everybody see what happened in Brussels. Why not? Are you trying to protect anything? Are you trying to protect anybody? I also hope that the DOJ can explain why they targeted me in Cyprus and not in my home country of Israel, where I reside most of the time. After all, the U.S. shares a bilateral extradition treaty with Israel. So if any of my crimes are real and serious, and this is not just political prosecution, why did the U.S. need to sneak up on me during a short visit to Cyprus? Do they not trust the Israeli judicial system to judge this issue on its merits? What's going on here? Also, why did the DOJ wait 6 whole years, well beyond the statute of limitation, to indict me? And why did the DOJ choose to unseal the indictment on November 1st, 2022? The very same week of the midterm elections? Could this have anything to do with the fact or the fear that once Republicans gain control over Congress and begin to investigate, their cover-up would be in full display? And perhaps the biggest question of all, why am I being indicted for FARA, for ghostwriting an innocuous article for which I received no payment, let alone from a foreign government, when the mother of all FARA cases, the Biden systemic influence peddling on behalf of foreign governments for which they raked millions, goes unpunished? This is in a nutshell why I decided to act the way I did. Because I do not have faith that I would receive a fair trial in a New York court. Let me tell you why. CFC Secretary General Dr. Patrick Ho, who paid Hunter Biden $1 million for God knows what, was not allowed to mention the word Biden before the jury when he was tried in New York in 2018. The very same prosecutor who is now after me, Daniel Reichenthal, told the judge at the time that mentioning the name Biden would, quote, add a political dimension to the case. And the judge agreed. Which means that if I'm ever brought before a U.S. court, I would not be allowed to utter the word Brussels or Biden. And the real context of my arrest, me being patient zero of the Biden family investigation, would be hidden from the jury. Let it sink in. I, who volunteered to inform the U.S. government about potential security breach and about compromising information about a man vying to be the next president, am now being hunted by the very same people whom I informed and may have to live on the run for the rest of my life. I warned the government about potential risk to the integrity of the 2020 elections. If convicted by a U.S. court, would never be able to vote again in the U.S. elections. Just think about it and ask yourself, who's the real criminal in this story? Thank you for listening.
Please support my work as a frontline soldier, sharing truth far and wide. I've got links to GiveSendGo, DonorBox, BuyMeACoffee.com, and my Cash App all in the description box below this video. If the links don't work, it's no trouble. Simply visit www.GiveSendGo. That's GiveSendGo.com and hit the search icon. Enter my name, it's Christian Space, Patriot Space News, and I'll come up. Thank you in advance for your incredible generosity. I cannot do this without you, and together we will win, especially the good fight of faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for those of us who put our faith and our hope and our trust in Him. Let's move on to that which is infinitely most important. Let's move on to the truth that Jesus Christ is the way. Jesus is the truth and He is the life. And nobody comes to the Father except through Him. And that's where we'll go today. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. Jesus comforts His disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Jesus, the way to the Father. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. When Jesus said that, what he's really saying is this. Nobody enters God's eternal paradise except through faith in Him, except for believing that Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know Him and have seen Him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing His work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So not everybody fully understands what it means that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through Him. You see, Jesus is the way. He is the narrow path. You see, broad is the road, and wide are the gates that lead to destruction, and many will enter through. But narrow is the way, and narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life, and very few will enter into it. You see, Jesus is that narrow gate. He is the only way to the Father, and nobody can come to the Father unless the Spirit draws them. So a person can't believe outside of God's Spirit drawing us unto himself through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the truth. You see, a whole lot of people share a whole lot of other things, but Jesus is the truth. Everything he says is true. Some people say Jesus was a great prophet, or he was a great teacher, or a great example. The truth is, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Unless you put your faith in the finished work of the cross at Calvary, you will not enter eternal life. And that's the last part. Jesus is the life. Faith in Christ is eternal life. You see, a lot of people think that it's about being good, and God will weigh your good against your bad. As long as you've done more good than bad, you've entered in. It's like being weighted on a set of scales. Your good works weighed against your bad. It's about this. The only people who will make it into God's eternal paradise are those who are perfect, holy, sinless, and blameless. Folks, we're not qualified. We are sinners, and we need a Savior. So thank God that he gave his Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, because the only way to have eternal life is through faith in Christ. And that's where the great exchange comes into play. You see, when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross, here's what happens. Our sin is punished on Jesus himself. He bore our sins and the punishment that he endured on the cross for us. So our sin debt was paid in full by Christ himself. You see, we owed a debt we could never pay, and Christ paid a debt that he did not owe. That's the great exchange. Our sin debt gets paid in full on the cross at Calvary when we put our faith in Christ. You see, we are saved by grace through faith and not by works, so no man can boast. And the other part of that exchange is this. When we put our faith in Christ, the perfection, the holiness, the righteousness of Christ himself gets credited to our account. So when God looks upon us, he no longer sees our sin, but he sees the perfection of his Son. And that, my friends, is the gospel. For those of you who want to pray with me, I invite you to do just that. You can close your eyes and bow your head. It's not completely necessary. I like to do it. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for this opportunity to come before you and to give you honor, glory, and praise. You are El Shaddai. You are the Lord God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, the very author of life. You are the song in our hearts and the praise on our lips. As the deer pants for streams of water, so our hearts, so our souls pant for you. Father, right now, I just pray that the seeds that were planted in this update would dig deep roots in the hearts of all those who listen. I pray, Father, that those seeds would produce fruit, not 30, not 60, but 100-fold that which was planted for your kingdom, for your majesty, for your glory, and for your gospel. And Father, I pray that you would do that which is best for each and every single one of us as it relates to our eternal well-being. I'm not asking that you would do that which would make us the most comfortable, and I'm not asking you for that which would make us the happiest, but rather, Father, that you would do that which is best for us as it relates to the forevermore in your paradise. We pray these things in the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, for those of us who put our faith and our hope and our trust in your Son, your Lamb,
who takes away the sins of the world. Amen.